out. Little Jerry's in the house.
Jerry 2-Y, how does he do this? The king is away. Jerry 2-Y, the stutter step.
Oh, he's something else. Jerry 2-Y.
Okay, honestly, because we haven't won any gold medal in our the history of Fiji, so we don't know about, you know, what is winning a gold medal meant for Fiji until we reach Fiji. That is when we know that we won a gold medal, because the airport was so crowded. Even when we are descending down from the airplane, we can see everywhere Fiji's flag. So Fiji was fighting, I think, about months from that final. Yeah, everyone was just excited. Even when we reached the airport, we can see all the people there. Even when our bus, I think some of those kids where they were following the bus for, I think, a few miles, just running on the side of the road. That is how Fiji were really excited and happy for the team winning the gold medal. Bola, I'm Jerry 2-Y. You're listening to Rugby Hive.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Hive. I'm down in Stanford, and despite my South African accent, I was fortunate enough to play rugby for the United States on the Sevens World Series.
And I'm Robin McDougall, a former Canadian Sevens international. Back in my playing days, I went head-to-head against Dallin in the USA.
For several years, Robin has coached international Sevens for various countries, including Canada and Mexico. He's massively passionate about growing the game across the Americas through his McDougall Rugby programs at all levels. I'm currently a commentator for World Rugby, most recently broadcasting the Rugby World Cup in Japan, as well as the amazing Sevens World Series.
More than a decade later, we are teaming up to bring you insights from legendary players and coaches from around the world.
All legends have a story. The Rugby Hive podcast is here to share it.
Welcome to the Hive.
Oh, it's more dangerous than climate change.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Rugby Hive. This is our final episode for season 2. We so appreciate all your support we've received over the last 2 years. So thank you very much, you listening sensations. And today we close out with a cracking episode featuring Fijian Sevens legend Jerry 2-Y. But before we get into the goose-stepping Marvel hero, we want to thank all our partners. The Rugby Hive is brought to you by Wintergreen, who produce a brilliant range of products containing wintergreen oil, and they aid athletes before, during, and after training. Visit the sleek sensations at wintergreensport.com. They are a proud partner of USA Rugby and Major League Rugby. Also, a special thanks to World Rugby Shop, who produce a sleek clothing range and apparel for us. It's available at worldrugbyshop.com. Search Rugby Hive. You can get the items shipped to your doorstep. There's something for everyone. Next up, we want to thank Gilbert Rugby Canada, who are a Rugby Hive branded ball partners, amongst other things. It's amazing. You've got to check it out yourself at gilbertrugbycanada.com. We also want to thank Enduro Sport, the unstoppable endurance for 6 to 8 hours, the premium daily supplement that keeps you focused, hydrated, energized for hours. And that's how I talk so quickly. So get 40% off at rugbyhive.endurosportofficial.com. And then a big thank you to our Canadian Biltong partner, who have been making legendary South African Boerewors, Biltong, and other healthy snacks at canadabiltong.com. And today we just inked another partner because I couldn't bear watching Robin eat all that Biltong by himself in Canada. We have our American counterpart in Billy Biltong, the first Biltong producer in Major League Rugby, who have now teamed up with the Rugby Hive. So visit them at biltongbilly.com and tell them Robin and Dallin sent you. We're extremely thankful. And now I can stop stalking Canada Biltong, and as I have my own partner this side, Robin.
Well, it's great. But the truth be known is you couldn't get it across the border. So
that's true. It got incinerated as it tried to come across here.
Poor Paul Bennett on this side. Actually, I was coaching our academy kids at a tournament on Friday, and he actually delivered another package. So I have a freezer full. You and B just need to get on this side.
Absolutely brilliant. 2022 has been such a stunning year. We've been very fortunate to travel all over the world. I got a chance to go to the Spain Sevens for 2 of the HSBC World Rugby Sevens Series stops in Malaga and Sevilla, a remarkable trip. And then off to Vancouver next month. We'll have a Rugby Hive reunion there. We'll catch up with everybody. I'll get a chance to go to Toulouse in France in May and then close it out in Los Angeles in August. The other things I've been busy working on, Major League Rugby, that's been a whirlwind, broadcasting almost every single weekend out of 2 remote studios, either in Austin, Texas or Indianapolis. And this year you can catch the game of the week via Fox Sports. I've been doing quite a few of those. Great fun, great energy, very competitive season so far. So those are kind of been my travels. Currently in Los Angeles, enjoying the sun here. very different to New England. And Robin, you know all about the JUCOs.
Yeah, just tell me, what's some of your highlights with the MLR right now? Who's playing well for you? Give me a couple top players, and what teams do you like?
Yeah, good question. I would say Rugby ATL are amongst the top for me, just because their defense has been absolutely outstanding. They've added, I think, some firepower in their backline. ATL is certainly doing really well. It's hard to look past Rugby New York. They're such a good, strong powerhouse. The New England Free Jacks have been brilliant, just taking out the Austin Gilgronis recently. So that Eastern Conference is stacked. The Western Conference, Austin, I mean, they have really built such a strong outfit. Mark O'Keefe has really, really been instrumental for them. Once I said he was as tough as Nicolas Cage's face, and I still feel that way. He's playing out of his skin. So fun to watch the Gilgronis. The LA side, I wouldn't count them out. Areni Ayi still playing, which means you and I need to get the boots back on. I mean, it's remarkable. 42 years of age. He's carving out there. There are going to be some other sides, I think, that'll make a late challenge, like the San Diego Legion. But those are some of the teams that really stuck out. I think it's pretty tight to call. We've only had, what, 7 rounds played of 16 regular rounds. And Robs, what I love so much about this season is that 3 teams from each conference will go into the playoffs, when normally it's just the top 2 into the conference finals. So I think that really opens the door for that third side to potentially sneak into an Eastern or Western conference final.
Well, the thing I like most is just it's competitive. There's been some upsets this year. And I was able to watch Arrows versus Giltinis in Langford, locally here on Southern Vancouver Island. And then I was invited to the San Diego Legions game with good old Snacks after a Premier Sevens trial in California. And it was really cool to be on site and got to catch up with a bunch of the Canadian boys that were playing on the San Diego and obviously the DC teams, Big Doug. So I also saw a game in Houston. So it's nice just kind of ducking around North America and seeing this league. It seems very sustainable, and each outfit, each franchise is working their butts off to grow the game. And I think that's super positive.
Yeah, no, it really is. And great to see a new side as well joining Dallas. They've produced some exciting games, brilliant tries they've scored. They haven't won a game yet, but that doesn't matter. They're really entertaining their home crowds, and there'll be some big games for them to come as well. Now, Robs, I know you've been a busy bee, so tell us a bit about your travels, what you've been up to, what sort of fingers and pies have you got going on?
Chasing my tail, as always. Since I've been back from Portugal with the Rugby 10s, I've just been grinding in behind the scenes, just building for our academy next year and all my other projects that we're launching in 2022. So I wanted to get on the road and catch up with Frankie Horn at the Rhinos program. I have, I think, 11 or 12 athletes from 4 or 5 different countries that are training with him full time. And I just wanted to check in on them. And then obviously we had our Premier Sevens West Coast Open trial a couple Sundays ago, and that was great to catch up with the Premier Sevens. And obviously my co-coach will be getting inked up in California this year on the first stop of the Premier Sevens. Good old Griff. But saw lots of talent, and then we've got to do some guest coaching in Southern California too, so that was really exciting. And then flew down to Mexico City, which I haven't been back since pre-pandemic, I think since the Sevens World Cup when I last coached them. So caught up with a lot of good friends. I got out doing some coaching workshops in inner city Mexico City, and actually got pulled off the field, or pulled onto the field, to ref a U19 game. That was a wake up call on a Saturday. But just connecting and growing the game, and just continuing to focus on supporting athletes and coaches and programs and nations in the Rugby Americas North region. So it was good to be back in Mexico, and then came straight back into a tournament in camp with my academy. We got spring break here, but we were able to field a team for a tournament here locally, and we finished second, which was great for our young girls. And then so this Sunday we were able to host a Premier Sevens event, the first ever Sevens professional trial in Canada for men and women, and the first ever professional women's trial ever in Canada. So very exciting. And to be honest, we had more women there than guys, which is always exciting. I had some quality talent. We had athletes that came from, I think, New Mexico, Arizona, Oregon, Seattle, and New York, and across Canada, Ontario as well. So I was just saying down that Colton Carriaga went to the open trial at the Premier Sevens in Memphis ahead of the inaugural Premier Sevens event last October. And we were floored. Well, I was floored. There was people, guys and girls, that have flown in or driven in from across the U.S. And it was the same at the California stop that I was at 2 weeks ago too. So just really motivated me to bring an event here in Canada. And again, just surround yourself with the best people. And it went off without a hitch. So I got Brian Hunter involved. Brian was the Canada Sevens manager for over a decade. just a legend. We're going to sign him up to be our Looney's manager this year too. And just like so much experience. And, you know, at the end of the day, these athletes, it means so much to them. And it's the best part about the Premier Rugby Sevens is it's between the club and country, or between the club and MLR for the guys, or university for the girls. And, you know, I don't know about your experience, but I went from, you know, although I was in the men's national team for years, there was no domestic men's sevens competition in the 2000s. So I basically went from having played in a high school sevens tournament to playing against the All Blacks on debut, right? You know, which was honestly like 7-8 years apart. So although I trained sevens all the time, so these kids, obviously they're long-term developed rugby players now in North America, playing in lots of amazing youth tournaments. But to actually play professionally, you know, to that standard and play alongside like Lev Kelters for the women and Perry Bakers for the men and Danny Barrett and all those guys is quite special. And just something that like you and I were talking about the other day is why we started the Hive, is to share these stories and you know, just segueing into this episode of the maestro himself, Jerry Tuwai, not the biggest guy. And had a long road to achieve his goals and literally came from nothing. And he gets into that story, the knife and fork on his cleats in this, but, you know, really connecting, you know, those aspiring men and women and youth to the stories of our legends on the Rugby Hive to inspire them that not everybody has had an easy road. Like almost everybody that's achieved anything in sport or other has had a tough road. And, we hope that these stories can inspire you and those, you know, majority of our audience is obviously across North America and soon to be blowing up in Fiji, thanks to Ben and Jerry. Those athletes that have achieved great, great heights, you know, it's important that these North American athletes realize that, you know, anything's possible and there's a lot of opportunity. And that's really what inspired me as an athlete and as a coach and now a guy that gets to, you know, share these stories with you on the Rugby Hive.
Yeah, I had a similar story as well. You know, there was nothing here in the US in terms of sevens as a pathway, really. I was playing sevens with Occidental All Boys, a team out of here in Los Angeles, and then eventually with Belmont Shore, which is a much bigger club, and they've had a lot of success in 15s. But if they didn't make club sevens nationals, I would never have been seen by the US national coach at that time, and then, you know, wouldn't have played for on the Sevens World Series. But you're right. One week you're playing in a small little park that, you know, the fields run down, and the rugby poles are falling to the side, and then the next weekend you're playing at the Wellington Sevens in front of 40,000. It is completely different. And it's very tough pay for that if you just did play coming from an amateur club, you know. But Robs, I just want to touch on our season two, and then we can kick off with our guests coming up here. So let's quickly run through our remarkable guests that we've had on season two. We've had the brilliant Blitzbox Sevens legend from South Africa, Cecil Africa. We've had two Canadian greats in Dave Moonlight and John Moonlight. Current Germany Sevens head coach Jamie McGraw, who's been doing such a fine job with that country and making them so competitive on the global stage. We've had Sean Holly, the Welsh personality, commentator, host, and former champion coach, plus the Water Buffalo himself, Andrew Swain from Australia, one of the top commentators in world rugby. Looking back at season one, of course, we had a blockbuster 24 episodes, but this past year, we've had 6 guests, and that's because the world's been in full swing. We've had so much travel, so many rugby adventures. We've been busier than a one-armed bricklayer. Today, we finished with an absolute rip snorter. Two of the greatest sevens players of all time. First, the 2019 Sevens Player of the Year, who currently captains Fiji. It's the man who's more elusive than a squirrel on Red Bull. It's Jerry Tuwai. And alongside him, it's the Fijian Sevens new head coach, Ben Gollings, the England Sevens star, who is still the world rugby record holder for most points scorer in the Sevens game. Just a few more points than Robin, than you and I.
Just a couple. He likely scored more in a weekend than we did together in our whole career.
Touch on your history with these two guests. And then also we have some exciting Hive news to share with some new people joining us.
Yeah, I think I touched on obviously Ben. Our relationship goes back to, you know, a World Series days, my first tournament. And again, England, to be honest, weren't always the most warmest team on tour, if I could say. I know they've come a long way these days, but Ben was the poster boy for England in Dubai when I debuted, and he was the first guy to reach out a hand, him and Serevi. So you got the two best players in the world and the two best guys. And then just seeing him again, his coaching journey to get to the top, it's, you know, that dream, believe, succeed motto that I live by. Ben's done that in twofold, and just seeing him, how he's approached, you know, his first few, I guess, 3 months on the ground with Fiji, as well as, again, having a young family and a son being born right before he left. And then just, you know, connecting with him every week, just seeing how he's evolving. He's engaged local coaches, you know, he's engaged Jerry, who's, you know, has the keys to the country and understands the guys and, you know, use that experience. I think he's turning the keys just the right way. And he's doing it the Fijian way, and he's doing it his own way. And he's just in a really selfless place. And, you know, when you're working hard to get somewhere, you know, you don't always get it when you want it, but if you pay, it pays off if it goes longer, because you have more experience and you're going to approach it kind of calculated. And I think Ben is doing well. And from what Jerry's feedback is, like, the boys are loving him. And, but a couple of digs on him too, because obviously he broke a few Fijian hearts, along the way back in the day as a player. So, and then I get an opportunity to work with them at the Vancouver Seven. So I'm really looking forward to a bit of a dream come true to be involved in the Fijian camp and get the insights on, you know, what makes them so special. Looking forward to that experience coming up here in Vancouver.
And then give us the new addition to the Rugby Hive. Tee that up for us as well.
Yeah. And some more exciting news. Our Hive family is growing and buzzing. We're thrilled to welcome Maxine O'Leary, Cowichan Valley, local Vancouver Island girl, valedictorian, super bright. Connected her with Jocelyn Barrio, former international women's player and coach. She's a head coach of Concordia Stingers out in Quebec, out in Montreal. So some bees and some stinging connection there. And she's a full-time student, and she's our marketing coordinator for MacDuel Rugby. And that makes her the marketing coordinator for Rugby Hive now. So having her expertise in behind the scenes to bring our content and just to help us up our game and also support us, you know, alongside the Gaz, we got a whole family now, Dallin. So our staff is getting smarter. We've got more points on the board, and it's getting better looking, youthful. It's all coming together for us.
Oh, it's so great. I love those additions. Can't wait to meet everybody properly for a big reunion at the Vancouver Sevens. That's going to be brilliant in April. We want to thank again all our supporters for tuning in. Catch us on the socials at Rugby Hive on Twitter and Facebook, at My Rugby Hive on Instagram, and our website, rugbyhive.com. So make sure you keep safe out there. We appreciate all the support. And now it's time for episode number 30. Well, hello and welcome to two of the greatest Sevens players of all time. Also, hello to you, Ben, and hello to you, Jerry. Bula, my friends. Ben and Jerry's obviously a famous ice cream, but you guys are way more than that. We've got World Sevens Player of the Year 2019, three-time series winner, two-time gold medal champion, a man that's more elusive than an alien. Bula to you, Jerry. Beautiful, my friend. Then we have World Rugby's highest ever point scorer in sevens, the English magician. He's kicked more than Michael Phelps and just as successful, new head coach of Fiji, Ben Gollings. Hello, you star.
Hello, guys. Bula.
Awesome. Well, listen, you two, it's so good to have you on. We've got a bunch of questions. We're going to flip-flop between the both of you, asking you some insights, some takes. And so let's get started right away. Firstly, Jerry, I know you went to the Dubai Sevens. We had a lot of debutants there. Can you tell us what you were busy doing?
I was preparing for my wedding, so that's why I cannot make it to Dubai.
Beautiful. How was it?
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest goals I've ever achieved in my life. So, yeah, I'm really happy for that.
Congratulations. We knew you were there. Massive news as well. Let's also talk about where you grew up. I know you grew up in a town called Newton on the outskirts of Suva. Can you tell us about your early life? What it was like growing up there?
Yeah, I grew up in one of the hardest neighborhoods in Suva. My mom and dad and five of us, siblings. It was not an easy life. My mom, she worked as a house girl, and my dad is a farmer. So he didn't earn much. And I dropped out of school because I was running away from school because I was going to play some tournament on the side. That's why I just dropped out from school. And yeah, just one day, my mom and my dad told me that ever since you love rugby so much, why can't you just try to make a life from rugby? So they bought me a rugby boot. That is where I wrote knife and fork from it. And that is where it all started.
A great beginning. And you also used to go fishing with your father, is that right?
Yes, I have two brothers, so we go to fishing with my father, and we'll sell the fish on the side of the road. Me and my two brothers, but I was the eldest, so I was the one doing all the selling on the side of the road. I think right now, all the people that I sold the fish to, I don't think they recognize me now.
Well, you're a slippery. You're as slippery as one of those fish, I'll tell you that much.
Well, Jerry, it was a good thing I didn't make that life as a fisherman, because I've been fishing since I was 5 days old and I'm still not good at it. So, but Ben, let's take it over to you. So obviously big moment for you relocating to Fiji, but some exciting news on the Gallings front. You just welcomed your fifth child, Ethan, into this world. And how's Lauren doing? How's the baby doing? How's all the rest of the Gallings clan doing?
Hey, yeah, thanks, Robin. It is, yeah, little Ethan was born literally 24 hours before I got on a plane and started this new role. But he's really good. He's, 9 weeks old now? And so it's been busy for Lauren. She's doing amazing. Obviously, without myself around, it's three kids at home, plus two chickens and a dog as well. You've got to add that in there. It all adds up. But she's doing fantastic. And little baby's doing fantastic. And then, obviously, with my eldest sons, they're both still running around playing footy, and one at school and one working now. So yeah, family's good, thanks.
It's great to hear. She's the ultimate rugby wife, like all our wives, patient with our travel and our love for the game. So that's amazing. And what's life been like on the island so far? And how are you taking in adapting to, obviously you're not just coaching this team and working with these incredible athletes, you're basically being welcomed into the world's best rugby family, which is Fiji.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, actually. It's a good little story, because usually I think when you land in somewhere like Fiji, it's very hard to sneak under the radar, because often they'll know you're coming. And there's the one nice thing is it's usually a really nice welcome. But I flew in during a cyclone. So when I arrived, there was no power in the airport. So I did actually manage to fly right in under the radar and sneak in and spend the first 24 hours without anyone knowing I was here, which was quite cool. But in terms of the welcome, it's been fantastic. And I think one thing they say here is like, welcome home. So that they really treat it like it's your home. The people have been amazing. And then with the team, it's been great, really. It was the first period was a bit of a whirlwind, because I'd flown in. We only had, say, 2 weeks before we were meant to fly to Spain. And during that period, obviously COVID struck, and we had a few little disappointing decisions to be made, because we couldn't then go to Spain. But I think the silver lining is that it allowed us a bit of breathing space and an opportunity to then settle and have quite a bit of time to work together and get to know each other better leading into the next two tournaments. So it's been really good fun. I'm really enjoying it. And you know, there's a lot of firsts that are happening week by week as we move on, which is good.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We really missed you in Spain. I'll tell you that much. It was a great place to be. And the Spanish were such great fans as well. First time they got to see Sevens players, you know. Obviously, they didn't get to see Jerry yet, but still, you know. Now, we'll flick across to you, Jerry. I have a question for you about...
They're waiting for it.
Growing up on the island, you know, from foreigners, we think, you know, you play rugby as a two-year-old in Fiji. But yourself, you started playing rugby a little bit later, I believe, right? Tell us a bit about your journey in the sport up until you made the Fijian national side.
Yeah, I did play rugby in primary school, but I never took it seriously, you know. I love volleyball. Then I went to school, I watched rugby, I watched Sasrevi, I watched Ben and Riders. Yeah, so... Yeah, late in high school, you know, when everything, you know, I think because of the upbringing that we have, because I have no choice, I have no, you know, I'm not going to school, I don't have any degree on, I don't know any job, so I think that's one thing that's helping us in Fiji, rugby, and that is where I got my inspiration, just to help my mom and dad, and to support my kids. So. So I started playing rugby, and I think along the way I picked up a lot of things, and I've learned a lot of things till today.
Let's quickly talk about a couple of things you mentioned there. Volleyball. So how high is this net when you're playing volleyball?
Yeah, I love playing volleyball. I played volleyball, you know, at the early age. I had two bleeding nose when I was, I think, about 12 years old, because I was playing with boys who knows volleyball. But yeah. I really love that sport. And I think that is where I think that's where my agility came from.
I love it. That's so great. Now, listen, there's a story that goes around that when you did make the national team, your coach at the time, Ben Ryan, said that whenever there was fitness tests going on, he found you hiding in the bushes. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You were running around the ground, and I was so tired because I've never done that training before, never in my life. Because from that small community, Newtown, from there to the national team. So I was just running. I was looking at Ben, and Ben just turned away. I just dive in one of the portholes beside the bushes there. I was hiding there, and I was lying down there. I just saw one shadow coming. Bullet Surana, what you doing?
Fear class. Now, Ben, question for you. Does he still do that today? Is he still hiding the bushes?
I make sure we've got fields without bushes. Yeah. No, I think it's great, but it's a really interesting point that Jerry makes, is that here on the island, something that's pretty incredible with the players is they literally come from the village straight to their club rugby, and the next step is like international rugby. And you know, often there's a few more steps along the way for players. So you can fully understand, in from someone like Jerry's context, that he's never experienced that kind of training before, and then all of a sudden, bang, here you go. It would be a huge wake up call. So yeah, something we're trying to manage, but yeah, it's incredible how they do adapt and then obviously turn into the likes of a Jerry.
Moving over to Ben. So since you've been on the island, like obviously you've worked your tail off to get to where you are, the opportunity to coach in the World Series and obviously lead a world-class program like this. And often when you work hard, you learn a lot and you appreciate those opportunities. And just knowing you and what you're putting into this program in the first kind of few blocks here, what you've kind of said is you really wanted to find the right staff to support the program that'll complement you and mostly complement the players. Do you want to talk about some of those staff members that you've reached out to and why?
Sure. Well, I mean, look, the first one is online now with us. You know, Jerry, obviously he's been in the team now. He's done two Olympics. And, you know, I think even in Jerry's perspective, he's thinking about what's the next challenge and what's the next progression for me. And with a love of rugby, coaching would make sense. So we sat down and discussed how that may look in order to, you know, keep Jerry motivated playing, but then use all of his knowledge and experience to support the team from a coaching aspect. So, you know, for me, it's really exciting. It's great to have him as a player, but then also that sounding board from a coaching perspective, and to be able to, you know, help the players learn and develop that learning environment, which we want to create here. So first of all, it's Jerry. And then second of all, is Bill Sitala, or Viliami Sitala, as he's known, or he's also known as the Stretcher. So I had the pleasure of playing with Bill. I didn't have the pleasure of playing against Bill. Like, it was never a pleasure if he got hold of you, hence he's known as the Stretcher. But he's well-respected in Fiji. He's been an incredible athlete. I think he brings a perspective. He's been overseas playing a lot. He knows what the islands are like, and he is great with the players. So for me, Bill's been a really integral part of the development of our coaching unit, because it's not just his coaching. I think it's a lot of the other stuff that he can bring, the mentorship and the communication with the players and the respect that they have for him. So, you know, between the two of them, I'm pretty excited about the coaching staff we've got here.
Jerry, how are you embracing the opportunity to be a coach and transition into that coach player role?
I think it's really good for me. You know, I really respect Ben and Bill. I watched them when I was young. So it's a good opportunity for me to develop this coaching. And I really loved it. And I think it's a new challenge for me, but I loved it.
And Ben, you've been on the ground now for a few months here. How are you enjoying getting around and checking out the local competition? And obviously with the delay of Spain, looking on to Singapore and Vancouver, what's the talent been like in the local competitions?
It's been really kind of you know, eye-opening in terms of the opportunities to play rugby here. There's almost a sevens tournament every weekend, so it's a case of it's not the case of trying to find rugby for the players. It's a case of trying to hold them back a little bit sometimes, because otherwise, literally, you could just go from game to game to game to game. And you know, every level of tournament is really competitive in its own right. And so I think it's been really useful for me that within one of the first weeks, I was able to watch one of these tournaments. So it gave me perspective on the players. And what we've done is opened up the squad a little bit during these early stages to give people opportunity and see how they'll adapt in this environment. But then a few weeks later, we've got another tournament where the players go back to their clubs. They play again, and then we're literally just about to have our third one this weekend. So we just broken camp a bit earlier today, and the players go back to their clubs, and they'll be performing for Friday, Saturday. So I think it's great, because one of my big beliefs is you got to play the game. It's one of the best places to learn, right? And it doesn't matter if you're playing together or with another team. You go and do your training, but at a weekend you go and put that into practice. And that's what's been really valuable for us, is that we've had some really good weeks training, and now they get to put that into practice. And then fast forward to next week, we've got Australia and New Zealand here. We'll be playing in a round robin, which, you know, is great for us to, one, give as much experience to players as possible playing against top level international teams, but it gives us a chance to see where we're at as a team. So In that regard, it's been brilliant. And then just the general day to day and traveling around the country. I mean, you literally drive down the road and every blade of grass has somebody playing touch rugby on, or I got to say volleyball. It's amazing how popular volleyball is. Like any area where they can hit a ball over, they're doing it. And I think it's fantastic. You know, seeing kids and adults mixing and just getting on and loving sport in that regard. It's brilliant.
Yeah, you're having such a surreal experience there, you know, as a foreign-born player, if you will, coming there, and everybody knows you as well, it seems, which is really great, you know. So have they come up with a nickname for you? Is there something, Jerry, that the players or the locals call him?
Before, he's a villain to us, so, you know, even for myself, you know, whenever he has a ball in his hand, I'm just like, you know. But, yeah, but now he's our coach now. He's my boss now. So
I like it. Now, I've got a couple of Olympic questions for you, Jerry. Let's talk about the 2016 event. What was your first Olympic experience like? Tell us about, you know, going to Brazil and all your expectations and of course, you know, how it went off the field for you as well.
For me, because the Olympic was not in the seven, so it just came when I was in the team, and you know, I never expected to play in the Olympics, so it was just a great honor for me to represent my country in the Olympics, and the experience is just new to me, and I'm really blessed that I have lots of old boys in the team that guide us and provide this pathway that we can follow and perform really well in Rio. So yeah, I'm just I was excited and scared when we went to Brazil, but yeah, we went through it. So yeah, I'm really blessed.
I want to talk about the final, right? You talk about, you know, in 15s, France are mentioned a lot about throwing the ball around and they have creative flair, but of course, sevens is Fiji's game. So let's talk about that final. You absolutely demolished Great Britain. No offense to Ben or anybody else. Talk about that moment when that final whistle goes and you know you've won a gold medal for your country, the first ever gold medal, first ever medal for Fiji. Take us to that moment. What were you thinking? What was going through your mind?
Okay, honestly, because we haven't won any gold medal in our the history of Fiji, so we don't know about, you know, what is winning a gold medal meant for Fiji until we reach Fiji. That is when we know that we won a gold medal. Because the airport was so crowded. Even when we are descending down from the airplane, we can see everywhere Fiji's flag. So for me, after winning the gold medal in that final, I was like, I don't know how to feel. You know, I was happy that we won the Olympic gold medal for Fiji, but you know, it was not that excited until we get to Fiji. Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. So when you got home, you could really feel the energy and excitement. And what happened? Was there a big parade for you? Was there a week-long party? What happened?
Fiji was fighting, I think, about months. Yeah, everyone was just excited. Even when we reached the airport, we can see all the people there. Even on our bus, I think some of those kids where they were following the bus for, I think, a few miles, just running on the side of the road. That is how Fiji were really excited and happy for the team winning the gold medal.
That's amazing, Jerry. That's amazing. Let's fast forward to the 2020 event. Obviously, very different because the world was in a different place. The event was postponed. But what was that experience like for you in Japan? And then take us to the final again. This time you're playing your rivals, New Zealand.
Tokyo Olympic, that is more pressure than the first one because everyone is expecting another gold medal. So in the final against New Zealand, you know, New Zealand will come on firing. So other talks in the changing room is that, you know, we'll not go back empty-handed. We'll go back with the gold. That's also, or if we lose, then everyone no one goes to Fiji. So that is how far you want that gold medal. Yeah, and even when we were training here in Fiji, we just said, we told the boys that we're not going to bring back the gold medal. The gold medal is here in Fiji. It's buried in Fiji. We just go there and defend it, and then we come back and see our gold medal back in Fiji.
And when you came back the second time, same events, the country shut down for a month?
No, I think if it was not for COVID, I think we'll be still partying right now.
Jerry, I know how competitive the World Series is. Can you tell us what it took and what it was like to win so many titles, 2015, 2016, and 2019? What was different about those seasons as you went through them?
For me, I think it's seventh. It's all about teamwork. I'm so blessed that I can play with some of the legend of the game. I played with good players, good coaches and management, and a good program. And we like to have fun as a team. And I think the bond that we have, you know, in the previous team, even in this team, you know, I think that's the secret of winning all those. All those titles. And of course, no, we are a religious country. We believe in our God. And personally for me, I believe in my God and wholeheartedly. And I think those are the two things that give us all these titles.
Yeah, it's got to have a good culture. And whenever I played Fiji or any of my good friends that I have even in Canada that are Fijian, they always have a smile on their face. And you're always happier when they're beside you rather than against you.
That is what Fiji. You love to smile.
So, Ben, just obviously you guys were meant to go to Spain. Feel that was a bit of a blessing in disguise with just COVID and the transition and having the baby and now actually getting a good block preparation ahead of Singapore and Vancouver?
Yeah, I think so. It was a really new team that started out this year. And they only really, you know, it was the first tournament for 90% of the squad in Dubai. And so on the one sense, if we'd have gone to Spain, it'd have been really nice to just give more experience. But at the same token, with that, January was just kind of like crazy month for COVID, I think globally, right? It just went off that Omicron. And I think that the beauty was that in the end, we didn't go, we didn't get stuck anywhere. We didn't have to suffer any more of the COVID issues that we've heard so many stories about in the last 2 years. So I think the silver lining was that after a while, yeah, we really knew the fact that it wasn't going to happen. We tried everything. But then it was an opportunity for, one, the players to then have a short break, and two, regroup, and then really just be able to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, okay, moving forward, this is what we're going to be doing. This is the new journey. It starts here, if that makes sense. And that's the kind of way I've looked at it. I think it's been great that we'll have now had about a 10-week period on and off where we've been able to train consistently together and try and upskill and develop. And as Jerry spoken about, just connect and create that bond as we start to look towards these first two World Series tournaments, because we are a really new squad, and obviously that's a big thing moving into a year like it is. But at the same time, it's pretty exciting because, you know, there is an incredible amount of talent here. It's mind blowing at times.
Yeah, to both yours and Jerry's point, the culture and the chemistry is everything, and you think just, oh well, it's Fiji on the World Series, but it's a new group, it's a new build up. And the more time together, you know, even away from the pitch is huge. So just looking ahead to, obviously you got a Commonwealth Games this year, you have a number of World Series events, you got a Commonwealth Games, and you got a Sevens World Cup. What's kind of your biggest focus in the next 3 months in the build up to those events coming up later this year?
I think the biggest focus is to, one, create that environment in training that's really going to push the players and develop the players. Two is that we get to those tournaments and we get game time under our belts. You know, ultimately speaking, the majority of the team for Commonwealth Games and World Cup will come from the group that we have. And in theory, there's only four tournaments between now and when the Commonwealth Games happen. So it's really crucial for us that we give opportunity to players and to really grow in that environment quickly. Because, you know, Jerry alluded it to earlier, you know, they had won a gold medal till they won the first one in Rio. Now they've got two Olympic gold medals. One thing that they've never won is the Commonwealth Games. So that's a massive carrot dangling there that they'd love to tick. So, you know, our focus from these months goes towards the Commonwealth Games and the performance of the Commonwealth Games. So we will get the opportunity to bring some players back who've, you know, played ex-Olympians. But ultimately, we are a new journey. We've got to not reinvent ourselves, but we've actually got to embrace what was good before and know that if we're going to go out and win medals, we've got to set that as a new challenge. Now, we can't rest on what's been done in the past. We've got to, what is it that's going to motivate this team moving forward, and what is it that this team's going to bring? So, you know, that's the exciting part for me. And so far, the players have been really responsive. And I guess there's nothing better when you have 27 smiles looking at you after a training session.
Well, 26. One of them's hiding in the bushes. Listen, it's amazing what's coming up. Obviously, there's so many pinnacle events, and it's so exciting. And I think for a fan, it's so engaging because it's Sevens. You could have so many different winners or all these different events, which is really great. You know, I want to touch on the fun side of the game. And Jerry, you said everybody has a smile on your face, and we know we can see it. Do people get up to mischief off the field? Are you pulling pranks on your teammates? Are you hiding away their rugby boots or their socks? Are you doing anything at the hotels? Tell me some of the behind the scenes stuff you get up to.
I think, and Ben, he's laughing. So Ben brought this thing that we take off. So there's like, before it was a card, and then it's a little cube right now. Different kinds of cube, you take care of it. You can just, at any moment, one can just pull it up. So everyone should show this. If you're missing it, you should make a dance or sing a song. So the first, day of training, I was the one who, one of the three that do a dance in the after training in the ground. And I found out later that one of our boys had my card. So those are some of the players that are playing on each other right now. And even right now, so when we are going for a meeting or training, everyone will hide this, so because everyone wants to make you dance.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. Very sneaky.
Yeah.
Now we have another question. This is a question we ask all our new guests that come on. So let's rewind it back. Let's say you're the young 8 or 9 year old. What advice would you give to the younger generation of players coming through? They could be Fijian rugby players or players around the world, about rugby or about what's to come for them and their journey.
For me, I'll just advise them, go to school first. Go to school, get a degree, or find a good job. Because I know rugby will not play rugby all your life. And always make a way for learning. Because I always tell my boys, whatever you achieve in life, how many gold medals you won, or series or title, they'll always be learning for you.
Beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful, Jerry. And then a final thing for you as well, if you don't mind, in Fijian, can you give a message to the people of your country from you to them? Amazing. You two sleek sensations. Thank you so much for coming on. Jerry, you're more dangerous than climate change. And Ben, you still got the moves as well, my friend.
Thank you, guys. It's been awesome. Thanks.
You guys in Vancouver.
God bless.
Also never stops talking, does Pedernato, but I suppose that's the job of a scrum off.
Set!
He feeds. Five out from the own line. Satutu picks up, finds Jordan. Jordan skins one. Back to Hoskins Satutu. Here comes Pedernato. Back of the inside. Barrett! Oh, not even Wes Craven could have directed that. It's frightening from the All Blacks. And Bowden Barrett gets a popular try in DC.
Thank you for listening, you sleek sensations.
If you haven't already, please subscribe to Rugby Hive Podcast and catch us on all the socials at Rugby Hive.
We appreciate your support. Be safe out there and we'll see you soon.